Please take your Bibles and turn with me once again to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with the 18th verse again, Acts chapter 4, verse 18. That hymn that we have just sung, Jesus, the name of Jesus. That's where the power and the strength comes from. It's a name that's not spoken much today. God is this and God is that, and they have forsaken that precious name where the power is found. Acts chapter 4, and that's exactly the thing that Peter and John was condemned for and told not to speak that precious name. And we thank and praise the Lord that they did not listen. Acts chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who in the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that which all with all boldness that they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's begin with prayer. Father, Your precious word, I thank You that we can have it in our hand and carry it with us wherever we go. But, Father, I just ask that we don't just have it in our hand, that we don't just carry it wherever we go, but we take an opportunity to open that precious word and to read it and to be empowered by it and filled by Your presence and Your strength, that we may walk each and every day praising Your name and serving You. And as these folks experienced with the report that came back, they stood with a boldness as they proclaimed the word of God. And so, Father, that's not an arrogance. That's not a prideful statement. It is a boldness that comes from You, dear Father. You sent it to us. You give it to us by Your power and strength because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. We have come by faith, and we know that salvation is only be found through Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within our hearts empowers us, strengthens us, guides us, and leads us. And so please, dear Lord, just touch every heart. Those that are here that do not know You as their Savior, that today be the day of salvation. And those, Father, that are here, that please, that they would come and serve You and honor Your precious name, dear Lord. Let's Learn your word today, Father. Show us what you'd have us to come to know. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I go back just for a moment, back to the 11th verse and the 12th verse, because there are some things here that have been ignored and rejected by most today, and it is the reason why that few are saved. It's the reason that we have few places where the gospel is truly preached, and it's because of the builders. The builders have ignored the stone, the great cornerstone, and that stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as that stone, as Jesus is left out of the picture, left out of the equation, is no longer a part of the church, no longer a part of the family, no longer a part of this great nation that we have, we can expect nothing but trouble and sorrow and tribulation. But it begins with the builders of the church. And as that 11th verse clearly states, you builders. And it is speaking of the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, we have that word neither that I have circled. And there is no salvation by any other. Don't let anyone ever, you know, many times that the doctrines of many cults will say that we're serving the same God, we're just going another direction. There is only one direction, and that direction, as that precious hymn says, is the name of Jesus and your relationship with him. And so please, there is no other way. And then the only other word that I have circled in that 12th verse is the word given, because it is given to us to just accept as a free gift. And so please, if you would like to take that verse of Scripture to anyone and show them, here's the problem. And it was the problem with Israel. It's the problem with the Jews, with the Sanhedrin, with the religion of that day. The problem was the builders. The builders did not see a need to have Jesus involved in their project. And if we build anything without the Lord Jesus, it is, as a believer, it will be as wood, hay, and stubble, as the Scripture clearly tells us. And so we find back in the 12th verse that that we can read that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. There is no other way of salvation except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these men knew that. Peter and John these disciples of the early church. And Peter preached, and we have studied at length those precious messages that he has preached. And as they finished his preaching, telling them about the Lord Jesus, the need to come to the Lord Jesus, they were offended. They were offended up by the name of Jesus. And if you'll notice that, you know, the problem is that not only were they preaching and they were gaining followers, many people accepting the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And not only was that taking place, but then we have this lame man. And the Scripture tells us down in verse 22 that he was above 40 years old. So it was 40 years plus that he had been lame. And he had been laying. And most of the folks that come and go out of the temple and in that area, the folks that Peter is preaching to here, the people that are being affected by this, know this man. And where was this lame man? Oh, he just leaped for joy and cried out with a loud voice, and he just ran home, didn't he? No, he was standing right next to Peter, right next to John. And so all of a sudden, here was Peter, and here was John, and here was this lame man, and he was standing right there, made whole. And I'm sure his countenance were unbelievable as you look at the face of this healed man. And so they had a problem. And that problem was Jesus. Now, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. But the real problem was Jesus in their heart. They didn't have him. That's what the problem was. This man, Jesus, doesn't fit into my religion. It doesn't fit. We're looking for a king. We were looking and are looking for someone that's going to come and be dressed in the royal robe and the crowns, and will come with all power and authority to speak and to proclaim the truth and to put down the Roman government that we may rule with him. That's what they were looking for. They were not looking for someone to take their sin away. That is the problem. So Jesus was the problem. He was the problem in the name because of the power and the result of that name. But again, the real problem was that they rejected Jesus. They did not want him in their hearts. They had no need for him whatsoever. So, rejecting the name, rejecting salvation through that name, we've got to get rid of these people. We have got to get rid of them. And so they brought them in, as we studied last week, and they had a conversation. They listened, they looked at them, and then they put them out of the council room. We used to, on the school board, we go into executive session, and that's what they did. They went into executive session to figure out what to do. And so in that executive session, they had this conversation back and forth. What are we going to do? Here's this man standing next to him. He's made whole. We can't question that. We've got to stop him. Now, let's think about the people. Let's look at the people. What was Peter prior to being a great preacher? He was a fisherman. He sure was. Peter was a fisherman. A lowly, humble fisherman. A man that when he was confronted with Christ not many days earlier, denied him. Not once, not twice, but three times. Many of these leaders that were in this executive session that day decided that if we would put some pressure on him, I know Peter's going to fall again. He will deny him and this thing will go away. Let's put some pressure on him. They would have loved to have beaten them. I mean, the hatred that was in that room today, that day, let's beat him. Let's put some stripes on him. And I'm sure one of them over there said, you know, I think we can do better than that. I think we need to kill him. That's the only way we're going to get rid of these people is if we take them out and kill them. Well, listen over here said, you know what happens when you kill somebody? Look at what's happened with this Jesus. Now he's a martyr. And everybody's following him. Same thing's going to happen here if we kill him. Plus, they look out the window. And what do they see out the window? They see great masses of people that are following after Peter and John. And following the name of Jesus. They're limited to what they can do. So they just sternly rebuked them. That's what they did. They rebuked them. They said, you know, do not teach or preach this name Jesus anymore. Don't do it. You know, we talked about the builders. And that's the reason I started back in the 11th verse. The devil does not care how long I preach. The devil doesn't care how loud I preach. You know, some people are pulpit pounders. And I've never, every once in a while, you know. But you know, you pound the pulpit, you yell and you scream, and I mean, you've seen those preachers. I mean, they scream and they've got a hanky in one hand, and there's tears and sweat, and they're jumping up and down and yelling and screaming, trying to get their point across. You know, go to Las Vegas and do your show if that's what you want to do. It's important that we proclaim the Word of God. But you know what? The devil doesn't care. The devil doesn't care how loud, how long. He doesn't care as long as I don't mention the name Jesus. He doesn't care. That devil, he is so pleased with these builders that have built these beautiful, magnificent buildings where folks gather in. And the name of Jesus is either never or seldom spoken of. The need of salvation is not told. The desire to go out and tell people that Jesus was crucified and buried and risen and ascended and he's coming again, those words are not proclaimed with the power of God. The devil knows that the message that's preached without Jesus is a message that is powerless. I love where Peter and John then, their answer, and we discussed it this morning just a little bit in the church, that they, you know, they're going to go back to their group here, and this is really one of the first little groups, we could call this their church. They came back to this group of folks. But before they did that, they were commanded in verse 18 and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Now I'm going to kind of put this in my own words here a little bit. Number one, Peter and John didn't need to discuss what their answer was going to be. They were ready to answer. They did not say, you know, you had your executive session. Now, let me discuss this with Peter or with John, and we'll decide. I know you're unhappy with us. I know you don't like what we're doing, and I don't want to offend you. And so let's go. We'll talk about it. That's not Peter to start with. Peter has an answer, and Peter has an answer quickly. And he tells them that, you know, you're going to have to decide. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so, verse 20 clearly tells us. And in that response then, you know, in kind of our own words to understand what Peter's telling them, you make your own mind up. You know, you decide, he's telling you, you decide which is right or wrong, whether for us to listen to God or to listen to you. But while you're making your mind up, I'm going to tell you what you can expect from us. And that's the response, and that is that we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're going to talk about Jesus. We cannot be controlled by you. The religion, these religious rulers, they could have easily taken these two out and stoned them to death. Did Peter and John fear the religious rulers? Did Peter and John, were they concerned that they were going to offend somebody by the name of Jesus? Peter and John didn't fear what man could do to them. They feared God. They wanted to proclaim what he wanted to. You know, why is the gospel not preached today? Again, Sunday school covered part of this. It's because the denominations control the pastor. And that begins all the way back with the seminaries and the schools that they attend. They are so indoctrinated by the time they get out to the field to pastor a church that they just say what they've been told to say. And they have no idea of the power of the Holy Spirit. They have no idea of salvation. They don't preach salvation because they don't experience it themselves. Or today, the gospel isn't preached because the deacon board doesn't like it. The elders, the deacons, or whoever is in control of that church, they don't like it. Another reason that the name of Jesus and the gospel isn't preached today, and we fall into this, we fear that we're going to offend someone. And the pastor, you know, I've got to keep everybody happy. I don't want to offend you. And so if you deny the blood of Christ, well then I just won't preach on the blood of Christ. I just won't talk about it. And if you're offended by me proclaiming the gospel so often, then I'll just stop proclaiming the gospel because I don't want to offend you. But you know, as individuals, and just not, you know, more years ago than I'd like to think, probably almost 30 years ago now. It's the only time that I knew of it. There was a preacher in a church, fairly young church, growing, preaching the gospel, preaching it clear. And there were some folks that came up to him, and those folks were influential folks. They were doctors and lawyers, folks with the money. And they went to the church board, and they said, he either stops preaching that way or we're leaving. And boy, I was so proud. That preacher said, bye. No, he didn't. He compromised his message. And you know what? His church continued to grow. But lives stopped changing. The preaching changed. Because he listened to those that were influential men. They can rule the pastor as well. They can rule the pastor as well. If you're concerned with me, pastor was gone in the church where we served before we came over here. We had two bankers, and when the pastor returned, those two bankers were gone. And the pastor said that I'll never let you in charge again. But the reason for it was because they were teaching a false doctrine in the Sunday school class. Now, we had a choice. Do we want that money and that influence, or do we want the truth? And he would have done the same thing if he was there, but he always had fun kidding me that I run the only two bankers out we ever had and did it while he was gone. They feared God. They preached the truth, and they preached it no matter what the consequences would be. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. That doesn't mean that all of them there were saved. But it means that they saw this man made whole. And Peter directed all his authority to God and the Lord Jesus for that healing power. And so they in turn says, yes, it must be Jesus. Again, we don't know how many of them really, truly were born again, but they were giving an acknowledgement that God was the healer of this man, and so it was enough that the authorities were scared of them, and so they followed after the crowd, as so many it does. And then verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And we've talked about that he, from his mother's womb, there was no denying this miracle in any way, shape, or form. In verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. You see, they went back to their church. They went back to the church where the folks that loved them and supported them. And you know, granted, at this point in time, there is no physical church, but where a group of believers are together, it's a church. And that's what this is. And they came back and they shared with what had been done. They reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And we have recorded for the first time a prayer in the book of Acts. This is the first in the book of Acts that's recorded for us. And it's a wonderful prayer. I'm going to read the prayer in its entirety, and then we'll come back and visit and fellowship over these words. And when they'd heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, and again, they were in unity, probably Peter or John, but probably Peter was the one that was in prayer, verbally praying, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. Went back to the church. Peter said to the folks that were there, "We needed a committee. We need to figure out what we're going to do. We've been threatened by the authorities. We've told them that we're not going to bow down to them. Now what do we do?" That wasn't the prayer at all. They had no plans. They had no committee. They took no vote. But they did come back and told the folks at church there, "Oh, sure, lucky they left us go. I'm sure, oh, that was lucky. I thought they was going to kill us." Is that what Peter and John said? Now, they came back and they said, "Those folks up there told us to stop preaching the name of Jesus. And we told them no. We told them we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus and we're going to speak it loudly and we're going to speak it clearly." That's what we told them. And in one accord, in unity, all that were together, whatever that group was that day, all those that were there agreed that that's what we need to do. There was no division. There was no separation. There was no clique. There was never a group on one side says, "I'm not going to die for him." They were all in unity. They lifted up their voices in one accord. And as Peter proclaimed here who the Creator was, because this name Jesus that they just said they would not be silenced to speak, their prayer begun with these words, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is them in them is." And as we look at those words and you look back to the Word of God, you're going to find repeated statements where Jesus, the Son of God, was the Creator of all the world. Some even of the thought and the doctrine that Jesus just was created for the purpose of coming down to earth. That was his beginning. Well, that's not so at all. We have the Trinity back at the creation in Genesis. And we know that Jesus was the Creator. He created all of this. And so with Peter, and I believe Peter is speaking here, that Peter acknowledging this, that God, you're the Creator of all the heaven and all the earth. How can we deny you? You are my Savior. How can we deny your precious words and speaking your precious words in power and in strength? This is the way believers should pray. Not only was this prayer a beginning of who the Creator was and acknowledging the Lord Jesus as being the Creator, but then Peter quoted Psalms chapter 2. And that's where he spoke of David. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? With the time as we have it, we're going to look up three different sections of Scripture concerning Jesus being the Creator, and then we'll close because we're going to have a wonderful time next week concerning this second psalm. And so don't miss coming and being a part of that next week. But let's look up John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You got any questions about who our Creator may be? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. One more. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Each time, without question. Persecution that they experienced, Peter and John, made them return to the other believers, share with them what had been told them, shared with them what they had said they were going to do, and then went to the Lord in prayer. And as we will look at this Psalm chapter 2, these verses, we know that not only in the book of Psalms do we have prayers and songs as we have them, but also there's much prophecy in the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at that. And so please don't miss coming. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Let's come and study that next week. Please, that as believers, that we are emboldened by the Word of God. We're strengthened by the Word of God. Please do not be offended when someone says to you, I do not believe that, or you know that someone does not believe that, and you know that the most common that I find in that is that when I tell somebody that, you know, once you come by faith to Jesus, you're saved, and you're saved, and he says, oh, that's right, you're saved. I said, yes, you're saved forever. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And I always ask, I said, what'd you do to get saved? And he says, nothing. I said, what in the world can you do to keep your salvation then? Oh, I can live right. I said, then it's not by grace, it's by works. Don't back away. Tell them the gospel. Tell them the precious Word of God. Enjoy that fellowship and the salvation that He's given us. Speak it with boldness. Is everyone going to agree with you? I can tell you right up front, no. But it's the most important message you can give. hurt their feelings a little bit if you need to. Do it out of love. Don't do it out of condemnation, but speak the truth. It's the only way salvation is going to come to them. What kind of friend are you if you don't tell them the truth and let them go to hell? I'd rather them be mad at me the rest of this life and go to heaven. Somehow or other, find salvation, maybe some other way, because by your words will touch them. Don't back away. Tell it with love and with God's power and strength. Let's close in prayer. Father, you know the hearts of all that are here. I don't. You know the heart, and so please, if there's folks here that have not come by faith to you, please that they would come as we finish the words of concerning the eternal hell fire that's going to be burning forever, torment forever. Father, please that we take that word out, proclaim it. And Father, that someone would sit here today and listen to your precious word and turn away and deny it? No, Lord, please. Not today, not ever. Please, Lord, touch every heart that's here. For us that are saved, let's take that word out with boldness, Father. Again, humble. To be humble and yet speak it with power, with boldness. It's a God-given power. It's not something, Father, that we muster up on our own. We practice and practice. We need to know your word. Study your word. And then take that precious gospel out. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the folks that have come. Please bless each one of them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.